in our email bag this week. Much praise for Nina Totenberg's series on the deliberations inside the Supreme Court 50 years ago as the justices considered Brown versus Board of Education.
Glenn Redis of Rochester Hills, Michigan, spoke for many with this appraisal. NPR just provided one of the most emotional and accurate history lessons that has ever been aired. The depth and breadth of your coverage was a tremendous education for every American, regardless of our ethnicity, economic stature, or any other label. Thank you, All Things Considered, for such a profound look at our past.
This week, we reported on how Hispanic workers are changing everyday life in small towns like Lexington, Nebraska. And from the nearby town of Bertrand, Nebraska, Karen Nelson writes to say this: Lexington is a good little city. The recent influx of people of a variety of cultures has enhanced the town in ways beyond just providing workers and filling schools. How many other Nebraska towns of about 10,000 have three Chinese restaurants, wherein third-generation Nebraska farmers and recent immigrants from Mexico eat happily side by side? At the town's upcoming Christmas variety show, organizers plan greetings to the audience in 20 languages. To me, that's amazing.
Our story about sacred harp singing in the South and the comment of one singer in Alabama that the music is religious, not folk music, prompted this from Joan Winslow in Salt Lake City. I am not a religious woman, but if asked my religion today, I can honestly say I am a sacred harp singer. Transcendence, or God, can be found in the center of that square, and it is said that the overtones are the angels singing.
A historical tweak from listener Brian Witt of Franklin, Wisconsin, who heard our film critic Bob Mondello refer to the Battle of Thermopylae as Greek mythology in his review of The Last Samurai. No, says Mr. Witt. He writes, although the Greek playwright Aeschylus wrote a play on the victory of the Greeks over the Persians called The Persians, it was based on fact, and specifically on the heroic valor of the 300 Spartans at Thermopylae who defended the passage against a Persian army of about 160,000. Although it is a rousing tale of selfless sacrifice against a much larger foe, it was not myth. No Greek gods were used in the actual making of this or subsequent battles, except in the homage to the deities. The Battle of Thermopylae didn't stop the Persians from sacking Athens, but it did result ultimately in the halting of the expansion of the Persian Empire.
Finally, we talked this week about some recent unfortunate errors on the New York Times obituary page, including a printed obit of a woman who, in fact, hadn't died. Well, that inspired Robert and Anita Zuckerman in Los Angeles to write.
They heard us mention the legendary Times obit writer Alden Whitman and were reminded of the day in the early 1970s when the obit for Jean Piaget appeared in the paper. They write, there, on the front page of the Times, Alden Whitman praised the obtuse thinking of this great psychologist. In response to this piece, we, that is the Zuckermans, wrote the Times as follows. Alden Whitman's diction's loose, when Piaget he calls obtuse. What a sorry word misuse. Surely, Alden meant abstruse. Sadly, they write, the Times never printed our poem. Could this be our second chance?
You bet. All poems accepted. Some may even get read on the air. Our email address is atc@npr.org. And please don't forget, we need to know where you're writing from and how you pronounce your name.